The views, information, or opinions expressed during this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Intuit QuickBooks or any of its cornerstone brands or employees. This podcast does not constitute financial, legal, or other professional advice or services. No assurance is given that the info is comprehensive, accurate, or free of errors. And the information presented is for general information purposes only. Intuit QuickBooks does not have any responsibility for updating or revising any information presented. Listeners should verify statements before relying on them. QuickBooks Money is a standalone Intuit offering. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, I'm Austin Hankwitz.
And I'm Denise Torres. Welcome to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks and iHeartRadio's Ruby Studio. In each episode, Austin and I chat with small business owners as they share their stories about the ups and downs of owning a small business. So Austin, we're a couple weeks into the spring now. How has the season been treating you so far?
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling great, Janice. I love being able to get outside again. And I actually now have a Marshall's gift card that I'm itching to spend to transform my house into a springtime oasis. Birthday should be good, May 10. That's my birthday. I'll be turning 28. And to celebrate, my girlfriend and I are going back to Cancun, Mexico. We went to Cancun last year for this insane all-inclusive resort to celebrate, again, my birthday last year. But going back again this year, can't wait to run it back. I'm so, so excited. What about you, Janice? Is there anything you are especially excited about?
I didn't know you were a fellow Taurus, too. I am May 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually going to be kicking off my book tour on my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's like, what a way to celebrate turning 39 and celebrating like 11 years of entrepreneurship. And so I'm going to be kicking off my book tour. Super excited about that. And then I'm also in the process of buying a house. So that's a whole monster in itself, but very exciting.
That is awesome. Yeah, we'll have to figure out a way to like co-celebrate our birthdays. May 2nd, May 10th. It's going to be in St. Pete, Florida, and everyone's invited.
I love it. Now, we love talking to different solopreneurs and small business owners about their journeys and strategies and the fun way that they can market themselves. But there's another thing we have to talk about, and it's something every entrepreneur has to deal with: payments and invoices.
Oh my gosh, payments and invoices. You said it, Janice. It is so crucial to keep track of your expenses and payments and keep your books balanced. That's why QuickBooks is such an essential tool and why it's called QuickBooks. It keeps track of all of your expenditures, open and closed invoices, tracks every penny moving in and out of your accounts, and allows for customers and vendors to send payment in whichever way is easiest for them and most convenient for you. So I know for me, Janice, payments, invoices, it was a disaster in my solopreneurship journey in the first 12 or 18 months. I used some random website that would create these like invoice PDFs, and then I'd send the PDF to the client, and then I would have a separate Excel spreadsheet. Get that, right? Oh my gosh. And manually typing in when I sent the invoice, when it was due, and when I should manually email them again as a reminder. It was a nightmare. Thank God for QuickBooks. But talk to me a little bit about your experience watching and keeping track of the payments, the invoices as a solopreneur, to your point, who's been doing this for 11 years.
Yeah, it's really the difference between me not qualifying for a mortgage or actually being able to prove to the bank that I can afford this, right? When I'm looking at my business finances, this is a reflection of my overall financial situation. So when I'm applying for a mortgage, I have to provide the bank with statements that show, what are my profits? What is my revenue? What are my expenditures? I pay myself, so I have to demonstrate that as well. And there's just so many moving parts when it comes to running a business efficiently that having your books organized and really being able to tell your financial story to a lender, to a bank, it's critical if you want to make these really big purchases and achieve these financial milestones.
I couldn't agree more. I remember when I purchased my first house here in Nashville, I think it was summer of 2022, so a couple of years ago now. But to your point, I was a full-time solopreneur. I was figuring it out, and it is a nightmare trying to find and prove. And I mean, they meticulously come through every transaction. You have to have the receipts. You got to have the invoices. You got to have everything. And thank God QuickBooks was able to do that for me. They had it all right there for me. I was able to find and show everything the lender needed. But whew, I feel for you, girl. I'll be praying for you now.
Thanks so much.
So on that note, let's meet our guest. You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder?
They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time. Michael Bain is an edgesmith who uses traditional Japanese techniques to perfectly sharpen blades, everything from cooking knives to ceremonial kirpins to simple pocket knives. After working for nearly 10 years in the restaurant industry, he founded Moshi Moshi, which provides high-quality knife sharpening to over 2,500 clients. In addition to starting and running his own company, he franchises out his business to other former kitchen workers who he trains in the art of knife sharpening. Michael is passionate about providing impeccable service to his customers, as well as having a healthy work-life balance. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited for this. And it's just generally super cool.
Michael, let's start with the name of your business, Moshi Moshi. What is the story behind it?
Moshi Moshi is an informal way and very friendly way that Japanese people greet each other on the telephone. So they'll just pick up the phone and go, "Hi, Moshi Moshi." And I just thought it would be like a cute thing to do, you know, when I was sort of dreaming of the business as a line cook, just imagining me being super enthusiastic, picking up the phone, "Hi, Moshi Moshi," just like yelling at people through the phone. And I always thought that would be fun.
Amazing. Okay, so you started working in restaurants when you were a teenager, but then you found yourself at the age of 24 working in a chaotic, fast-paced kitchen in charge of 15 people. What was the moment that made you realize you wanted to make a change from working in a fast-paced kitchen and branching out into your own business?
Okay, the moment was the pandemic. Like, it started when I was 24 as a sous chef. It started the ball rolling of doubt for the kitchen game. But like during the pandemic, when my hours kept going up, my pay kept going down, the treatment of myself as a human being was just not very nice. It was the pandemic and it started very quickly, the knife sharpening business from there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had sort of that reckoning moment during the pandemic where they started to question, like, is this something I still want to keep doing? And I think the restaurant industry definitely has a reputation for being a place where you need to have very thick skin.
Definitely.
So I understand why you'd want to make that transition. Now, you did say that one of the ways that you learned how to sharpen knives was through trial and error, which I think most people can relate to, especially in entrepreneurship. Would you say that's true about how you started your own company?
I would absolutely say trial and error has been like the main teacher through this and everything, because there's no other knife sharpener who can just like take you under their wing and show you all the mistakes they made. You kind of have to make the mistakes first and then hope it's not so bad and then just go on from there.
Can you take us behind the scenes of your learning process as well? Like, how do you actually learn how to do this stuff?
Well, that's good that you just asked it. I just got back from a big trip in San Francisco where I went to an established knife shop, worked with them for a few hours just to learn a couple of techniques. I was really trying to refine the last 3-5% of my technique. It's just learning what's the tiny thing they do different compared to me and then working that into the routine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that's a big part of kind of this whole journey as a solopreneur, is just understanding that there's always going to be opportunities to improve and to learn and to not be afraid of putting yourself out there and looking for those opportunities wherever you can get them.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing for me, because of course, doubt rolls in at times when I'm just by myself sharpening 200 knives a day and I'm just cutting paper on Instagram and I'm like, is this working? What am I doing with my life? Of course, doubt comes up, but like, I just got to trust the process, if you will.
I love it. I remember I was talking with Candace Nelson, the founder of Sprinkle Cupcakes recently, and she told me this story, which I think might resonate with you, Michael, where back in the early days of Sprinkle Cupcakes, she wanted to go out and hire the big consultants and the industry veterans and the people who were supposed to have the answers. But once she hired those people, she realized that, wait a second, we're doing things so differently here at Sprinkles Cupcakes that their answers don't even resonate. So I feel like as a solopreneur, Michael, who's trying to figure this out and carve your own path in solopreneurship with your knife sharpening business, that maybe it's even a better idea not to take too much inspiration from the industry veterans and look at yourself, kind of have that self-reflection and say, how can I best serve my customers? How can I best create processes in my business for efficiency and, you know, just awesome customer experiences, which seems like something you've done a very good job of.
Yeah, thank you for that.
So staying on top of money, coming in and going out and tracking all the paperwork with it can be so challenging for small business owners who are also having to wear all the other hats to keep the company going. That's what's so great about QuickBooks Money, right? It allows you to keep an eye on all the money that's coming in, that's going out. It helps organize invoices so you never miss a payment. So how early into your business journey did you start using QuickBooks?
Well, my wife has been an accountant her entire professional career. So she was like, let's get QuickBooks. And I was like, what's that? She's like the financial brain besides the entire operation, which is so nice and amazing for me because it's tough for me. And it's just really nice having somebody who like specializes in the numbers aspect.
I think we hear that a lot from solopreneurs, right? You want to bode to your strengths and hire to your weaknesses. And lucky for all of us, we can all hire QuickBooks if you're not that great at keeping tabs on the finances. So how has QuickBooks Money helped you stay on top of your game?
I just think having everything out in front of me and being able to see it is pretty nice. The thing with knife sharpening is that the expenses are pretty low to keep it running. Like I bought one expensive big grinding wheel and it's lasted me like almost 2 years now. You know, so it's like I'm not spending money actively every day to keep the business rolling. It's almost like one big expense every couple of months. So it's really nice seeing everything just in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of helps me with the unknown anxiety. It's just like, okay, I can just look at this and it kind of, it'll either make me a little bit more anxious or it'll settle my nerves. So that's good.
So Michael, you mentioned that a big part of your business is folks actually coming and dropping off their knives to your home in order to get them sharpened. So does that mean you're taking payments at the time of service? And then how are you actually tracking those?
So yeah, it's very simple right now in that people drop the knives off and then when they pick them up after the service has been rendered and they've been quoted, then they pay me either through cash or card. Right now I'm taking payments through Square, so it's pretty nice that I get a big weekly report from Square and I can get the monthly, the yearly report, and then it's all there. It's easily imported into QuickBooks and all that stuff. And then, you know, I think it's important to just report all your cash too, because like I think the benefits of having reportable income outweighs, you know, not paying the tax man.
Absolutely. I mean, if your business is way more profitable than you're showing on paper, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get loans and be able to expand, get that brick and mortar. So I'm glad that you mentioned how important it is to even track those cash payments. Let's talk about how you actually organize your finances, because obviously it's great for us entrepreneurs to see that money coming in. But what are some strategies for where you actually put your money? Do you have different bank accounts? Do you use it to reinvest in the business? Are you planning for your own retirement? Take us behind the scenes.
Definitely. So I started retirement savings at 29. That's been really nice having like a net worth. It's like my new hobby right now is like the compounding money. It's just like there's going to be some commas in here someday. And it's really nice doing that. And it's like I felt like at the beginning I was like wasting my money, but now I'm just like I only want to put it in there. So I've been really going crazy on the Roth, like loving the Roth.
That's something that only a true money nerd can say.
And I'm trying to do other stuff because like, again, my wife, Jenna, who is an absolute superstar, she's all up in it, in the finances. And I kind of feel like she's in a whole nother world when she's doing her stuff. She's like investing in art and stuff. So, you know, trying to do that the most, trying to max it out every year because why not? That's the best thing I could do, I think, for wealth building for myself right now.
Yeah. Well, and I love to hear the fact that you're investing in retirement, right? Because I think it's very easy for folks who are used to, you know, regular paycheck to understand why that's important. But I would argue that as an entrepreneur, it's even more important that you think about what that exit strategy is going to be for you, whether that's, you know, retiring from your business to go and start another one or just wanting to kind of ride off into the sunset. So it's really good to hear that you're thinking about what that future long-term plan is and not just getting kind of bogged down with the daily numbers of the business.
Exactly. And just recently, I just like, you know, first time in my life, I've got an emergency fund just chilling in a high yield saving account. So it's like the amount of stress I'm not feeling has been so nice. But I don't want to be actively sharpening knives for the next 30 years. I do feel like it's a not easy activity on the body and the brain and all that stuff. You know, you're grinding steel. It's not an easy job. But like I met a guy with a very, very, very established knife company nationwide, and he sold his company, knife sharpening, for $156 million.
Hey, yo.
And I was like, that's what I want to do. Let's do that. So like if someone's trying to buy Moshi Moshi in 20 years, let's do it. And I shall ride off into the sunset.
Who knew there was so much money in knife sharpening? This is all new to me.
I know. My jaw dropped and my priorities shifted very quickly once he told me that. I was like, okay, this person in the flesh has done it. It took generations to get there, but like, wow.
You mentioned that you really enjoy a healthy work-life balance. It's really important to you. So especially now after spending nearly 10 years working nonstop in these kitchens, talk to me about how you finally found that line between working hard to deliver something incredible, but not really overdoing it.
You know, it's a lot easier to really work super, super hard when like, all the money's coming to me, right? It's not just like 4% of the owner's paycheck going to like one employee, right? It's like when I'm tired, when I'm working, and it's like, okay, there's actual fiscal motivation there. But like really establishing the work-life balance is like I have a hard stop at 6. And I, you know, sometimes I'll start at 1, sometimes I'll start at 2, you know? So it's like, I really cannot work that hard. There's an actual limit of knives I can do a week that's healthy for my body. And it's like once the wrist starts feeling a little bit sore, I'm like, okay, I need to start thinking about taking a break.
Good for you. That's incredible.
Thank you.
So talk to me, though, about maybe some precautions you take. How are you sort of keeping your body in shape, sharpening steel?
Definitely. Safety is number one priority. But luckily with my methods, it's all slow grinding. It's all water cooled. There's no risk of getting hurt that way. The biggest thing for me is I have those like giant pads that you stand on for your back. I got nice Birkenstocks. I've had this pair for like 8 years now in the kitchen too. Awesome for your back. And then of course I have my little wrist routine that I do every day before I start. I might do a couple like squats here and there just to activate the legs because it is physical. So it's just good to just activate the body a tiny bit before you start. But the wrist routine is essential.
Coming up after the break.
Usher walks up and just takes like 10 or so pictures of me on his phone and then just sits back down at his table. I'm like, okay, thank you, Usher.
We'll be right back with Mind the Business.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists.
But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones that make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers.
They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they all have in common, it's making their money work harder.
That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield.
Yes, 5% APY.
Making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY.
Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn annual percentage yield. APY can change at any time.
Welcome back to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeartMedia's Ruby Studio and Intuit QuickBooks.
So you mentioned that you maybe didn't enjoy working in a kitchen. You weren't really in love with it. But was there anything you miss about working in a restaurant every day? Perhaps seeing all the people come in and out and maybe the conversations?
Yeah. So the thing with cooking professionally and like in restaurants, I think the job of cooking is amazing. You can find people who are so young and so driven and pushing so hard for something, you know, it's not monetary. They're not making money for something that's just like to a higher degree of what they are, right? That type of personality type is so rare. You don't see it in other places, right? That type of selflessness, the drive, the commitment. It's really astonishing. And like, I really do miss that. I miss being in an environment of collaboration and creativity where everybody is just like so into it. I mean, the last restaurant I worked at, we'd get there 8:30, 9 a.m. and it's like 2 a.m. and we all still got smiles on our face. They're tired, but like we're smiling, we're joking around, and we're just getting ready for the next shift in 6 hours.
I mean, Michael, we talked a little bit about perhaps your celebrity experiences before the show, but I'd love to hear any other additional stories. I think you mentioned Ludacris and Usher. Do you have any cool celebrity stories where like, yep, I got to serve this person a pork chop?
So yeah, back in 2015, when Gunsha was pushing super hard for James Beard Award and stuff, this is right when all the Atlanta film scene was going off. Crazy amount of people coming in. I remember John Hamm came in. Andre 3000 came in. I teared up when I served him. I was only cooking vegetarian and vegan dishes there. And yeah, he only ate my food. So that was cool. Ludacris on multiple restaurants throughout. You know, I try not to touch the table often and be like, hello, how was your dinner? How was the chef? Me. But but when Ludacris comes in, I'm like, what's up, Luda? At the last one, like interaction number 4, I hit him with the, what's up, Luda? And then he was just like, yo, of course, playing it super cool as Mr. Chris does. But yeah, I remember making a really big beef Wellington at Gun Show for Christmas and I was cutting it to order and stuff. And then Usher walks up and just takes like 10 or so pictures of me on his phone and then just sits back down at his table. I'm like, okay, thank you, Usher. And then just went back to work.
Do you also want my phone number too, Usher? Yeah.
Holler at me, Usher.
That's awesome. So Michael, you're working in the kitchen. You're hanging out with Usher and Ludacris. Were you also sharpening knives while you were, you know, doing all your work in the kitchen? Was this like a side hustle for you in the beginning, which turned into a full-time career? Or was this something that after you kind of pivoted away from your career working in the kitchen, you're like, I'm so good at this, I'm ready to do it full time and start doing it for the first time?
So I definitely always thought about it. And I always talked to my people in the kitchen about doing a knife sharpening business. Everybody was like, oh yeah, do it. But like 2012 in Athens, Georgia, just started cooking. I just cut my thumb off at the Mexican restaurant I was working at. It was gross.
Oh my goodness.
It was a bad one. But what I remember everybody saying, my chef was like, you shouldn't have been able to do that. Your knives are very sharp, at least. But I got into the kitchen through the knives. Like, I remember watching a very specific YouTube video, Chef Hiro Terada, Miami, Novi Kitchen and Bar. Just him with his extreme knife skills. Like, they don't get better than what he was doing. And I just remember watching that and being mesmerized. I was in college, not loving it, but just watching this dude in a kitchen cutting stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do that. From the start, I was always into knife sharpening, always had the sharpest knife in the kitchen. It was never really something that I made money of when I was working in kitchens. One, I didn't have any time to do that as a side, but it was always something that was in my head since day one starting in kitchens. And gosh, 10 years afterwards, and a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic got me there.
You know, Janice, I think that's how it starts for a lot of solopreneurs, including ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. I know you were doing your thing, I was doing mine, and we kind of had this little like person in the back of our head kind of standing here on our shoulder saying, hey, go try it. You like this. You should really, really try this. And, you know, a lot of us, the pandemic, to your point, Michael, was our opportunity. It certainly was mine. And I know Janice was there a little bit earlier than us, but it's really cool to kind of, you know, have an idea that you've really been marinating on for a couple of years and finally being able to bring that to life.
Yeah, I love that. So as a foodie and a lover of all good things, especially good high quality equipment in the kitchen, I'm curious for you, what is your favorite knife or type of metal to work with?
Ooh, okay. So me personally, it's so weird how I'm like this with my knives, but I'm not like this with anything else in my life. Like I have and have had 2 knives my entire cooking career, and I've just sharpened the absolute love out of them. But I've been using these 2 blades for 10 years, and I'm just like, I have no need to upgrade. People expect me, I'm like, well, let me see your knife collection. And it's just 2 stainless steel Japanese knives. That's it. But they're sharpened in. They look cool. They have like a unique profile that only a knife that's been used for a decade could have. The brand is Masahiro. Molybdenum vanadium. Really nice steel. holds a nice edge retention and gets very sharp. My favorite steel to work with is Murray Carter's white number 2 paper steel. Oh my gosh. All the videos I upload of me like shaving hair and doing all the parlor tricks, essentially, it's done with his steel. His heat treatment is fantastic. The way it takes an edge, it can become razor sharp in 30 seconds off of a knife, like on whetstones, like just working it very lightly.
I love it. I definitely have a favorite knife in the kitchen, so I totally get it. It's just one of those things that if you love being in the kitchen, you're just definitely going to have that favorite knife.
What's your favorite?
I have a Wusthof that's like just a regular nice. Chef knife that my dad bought for me. And I'm like, that needs to be the knife that's always readily available because it's just perfect.
Heck yeah. Wusthof is awesome when they're nice and sharp. Yeah. I dare you to try out a thin Japanese knife because the Wusthof is a little bit thicker. A thinner Japanese knife, the way that it moves through the food, the resistance is so less and there's less wedging. Ooh, I think you should try it out.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole now after this conversation.
I know. I don't have any cool knives in my kitchen. Nice. But I need to now go down the knife rabbit hole and find out the best ones. This is going to be a great resource for me.
Let me plug my favorite guys. I'm wearing their shirt right now. Some of my favorite guys, Kikuichi.
Okay.
As far as relatively available stainless steel mass-produced Japanese knives, which is a category. As far as in that category goes, I do think they're some of the best. They've been making knives for over 750 years.
Sounds like they know what they're doing.
That's a very long history. Yeah. They used to make the samurai swords for the Emperor of Japan. They used the Emperor's wow. chrysanthemum as their symbol. So it's kind of cool. You can nerd out on that a little bit.
That's awesome, Michael. Tell us what's next for Moshi Moshi and for you.
Well, I think what's next for me and Moshi Moshi is, honestly, I'm pushing towards trying to get a small brick and mortar. It doesn't have to be a retail shop yet. It just needs to be 200 to 300 to 400 square feet of me in a room that's not my house with professional grade equipment so that I can really push and get more knives done to a higher quality. I think I've done enough research to qualm the imposter syndrome, which is big. The next step is just coming around, trying to ask investors to potentially pay for this little knife shop thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this is, again, why it's so important for you to know your numbers as a solopreneur, because when you know how much money you're making, you know how much profits you have that then you can use to reinvest in the business to take it to the next level.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I'm super grateful that I have somebody who is so financially, their brain just works perfectly for it. Thank you to my lovely wife.
Amazing. Shout out to the unseen business partners that are helping solopreneurs conquer the world.
Seriously.
All right. So if somebody wants to hire Moshi Moshi to sharpen their knives or inquire about a franchise or even check out your social media, where should they go?
For hiring Moshi Moshi for sharpening, really reaching out to me through Instagram at Moshi Knives ATL, M-O-S-H-I Knives ATL is the best way to do it. And it's like, if you don't have an Instagram, you could just send me an email, moshiknives@gmail.com to get it all done. But most people, they'll book online through my booking system. They'll reserve a time slot. They'll show up with their knives all wrapped in a towel or something. And then I will text them the following day with the price. And then like, it could be a day, it could be a week later, their knives are done.
Cool. I think that's it, Janice. This is so cool. I appreciate the time, Michael. Crushed it, dude.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Thank you so much, Michael, for your time.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun, Janice. I am super jealous, by the way, that you have a cool knife set at your house. I need to invest in a knife set.
You must, you know, especially if you like being in the kitchen, which I know you do, Austin, because you're always sharing your latest TikTok recipe with us. I think it's important for you to invest in a good knife. You know, the skill of a cook is only as good as their knives.
I love it. All right, Janice, what was your biggest takeaway from our discussion with Michael?
You know, it was pretty much the importance of really just understanding your numbers. And in order to do that, you need to actually know what's going on. I remember having a conversation with my CPA after getting QuickBooks and understanding more about like all these numbers that we need to track. And she explained to me this concept of cost of goods sold, which is essentially how much it's costing you to actually provide the service or the product that you're selling. And once I actually understood that, it's an important number to know because that ultimately determines your profitability as a business and kind of where those margins are. I was like, you know what? This is why it's so important to track your money, be on top of your payments so you can understand the full picture of your business. How about you, Austin?
Oh my gosh, I'm right there with you as it relates to understanding the full picture of your business. I cannot explain to solopreneurs listening right now how important it is to know your numbers. I think for me, the biggest takeaway was how Michael was so honest about what he's good at and what he's not good at. And, you know, he's very good at working with his hands. He's hospitable. He really enjoys the human interaction, where his weakness is sort of that financial side of the equation. And so that's what he's done. He's hired to his weaknesses. I know he mentioned he works closely with his wife in the business, who's a professional accountant. So she's leading the charge on that, of course, with QuickBooks in mind. And I think every solopreneur listening right now needs to have some self-reflection, some self-awareness about what you're really good at and what you might not be the best at. I know I've done that exercise myself. I am not the best at scheduling and keeping my emails perfect, and I'm just not very organized as a human being. So my first sort of help I got in the business was hiring out to some of those weaknesses that I know I struggle with. And I think that's really important, again, for a lot of solopreneurs listening right now, to have sort of that time of self-reflection with yourself and figuring out what you love to do, what you're great at, and what you might not be the best at, and really hiring to those weaknesses.
Absolutely. And if you're not great at tracking payments like I am, then that's why you need to be using QuickBooks.
I'm right there with you, girl.
Well, that's it for today's episode. You can find me on social media at Yo Quiero Dinero Podcast.
And you can find me at Austin Hankwitz. You can follow Intuit QuickBooks on all social media at QuickBooks to get the tools you need to start, run, and grow your business. Head to QuickBooks.com today.
Don't forget to follow this show wherever you listen to podcasts so you can stay up to date on future episodes.
We also want to hear from you, so be sure to leave us a rating and a review.
See you next time.
This podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Intuit QuickBooks. Our executive producer is Molly Socha. Our supervising producer is Nakia Swinton. And our writer is Eric Lija.
Our head of post-production is James Foster. QuickBooks Money is a standalone Intuit offering. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn annual percentage yield. APY can change at any time. Money movement services provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder?
They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.